Hello, everyone. Come on into the Zoom. Let's get started. Let's see what we got going on tonight. We are coaching tonight on relationships. This is a relationships coaching call. So bring me all the things about what relationships you are working on and what you need help with. And we will see what we can do, okay? So let's see. Shops a lot says hello. Hello there. I think that's Jean. All right. So here's how this works. If you want to get coached on a relationship, boss, friend, partner, kid, parent, bring them all, right? If you want to get coached, you'll raise your hand. If you want to talk amongst yourselves, you can do so in the chat. Jean is there. There is no coach in the chat since the coach is doing the call. So if you need me, you will either need to raise your hand or put a question in the Q&A. Okay? I won't be checking the chat much unless you guys get super quiet with the hand raising. So that's where we are. I can't see you until I promote you to a panelist and bring you on screen. So if your hand is raised, be sure you want it to be raised. Okay. All right. Priya, you are first. And then Carolyn.
Hi. Hi. Wow. This is so cool. I've never done this before.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. What's up?
So, I guess yesterday being Mother's Day, I had some issues with my mom actually the day before Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And these are sort of recurring issues. I think we kind of have a toxic relationship.
Okay. Why is it toxic?
Well, I think, you know, she grew up really poor. She didn't really have anyone it's like tough to talk about it, I guess, but like, she just like didn't have anybody like nurturing her. So like, I think, when I was growing up, she never really nurtured me and my sisters. And, I don't know. I think like my whole life, I've just been trying to please her, and she can be very sarcastic. And I think, doesn't really value vulnerability much. I wasn't like, if I ever like opened up to her, she would just kind of laugh or be very sarcastic about it. I think she doesn't know how to deal with, she doesn't have a very high emotional IQ, I think. And so I think like a lot of things is like her projecting maybe, but I became a very high achieving person, and I became a doctor and did all the things that, you know, I felt was expected of me. In addition to wanting to do those things as well. But then I moved back home like last year because my dad's health has been declining, and I've been sort of, I've been helping out more and, taking him to appointments and stuff like that. Sorry, I'm going to get a tissue. And I sort of feel like I have to be here to help them because my dad has a lot of needs. But she also can get very demanding at times. And if I don't follow her orders, she can sort of just unleash at me and say like very hurtful things. Okay. And so then I'll back away for like a few weeks or something, but then I'll always come back.
So what happened this weekend?
I think it was just the grocery, like it's just about the groceries. She's been sending me like 10 different places to get her groceries. And I told her that, you know, I can't go to 10 different places. We're in the middle of a pandemic. I'll go to one place and get everything. Mm-hmm. And I've told her this several times during the week. And then eventually my sister came in and was like, you can't send her to 10 different places. Let her get groceries from one place. 'Cause she's concerned about sales and all that other stuff. And, And then she just said, you know, she just kind of lashed out and said, like, I never asked for your help. And like, you know, I don't need your help. And, you know, I'm never going to ask you for anything again, blah, blah, blah. And,
okay,
you know, that kind of thing.
Okay. And what'd you make that mean?
I guess I made that, I actually tried to do a TDL about it. let me go back to that. But I think I kind of made that mean that I must not be good enough. I think that's actually what I wrote at the time.
Okay.
And then the feeling I said was failure.
Mm-hmm.
And then the action is that I just get upset, but then I keep going back to people pleasing. And I think that's my, or like pleasing her. I feel like that's my downfall is that.
I think that's another model. I don't think you're pleasing her because, you know, you don't feel good enough and you're you know, you feel like a failure. When you feel like a failure, you don't move to people pleasing. Right?
Right. Right.
When you feel like a failure, you beat yourself up.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Do you do any of that?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I guess some of the things that comes to mind is my mom is very like a traditional Indian person. And she always thinks like, oh, you know, Westerners don't like to take care of their family. And mm-hmm. sometimes I feel like, oh, like I'm not doing a good enough job taking care mm-hmm. of my family
mm-hmm.
Because of some of the things that she says, even though mm-hmm. I feel like I'm doing a lot.
Okay. Anything else you do or don't do when you're feeling like a failure?
I probably eat. I don't. Yeah.
Anything else? Do you hide from her? Do you withdraw?
I think, yeah, I do. I do withdraw for a little bit.
Okay.
But I also feel guilty about it because I think that, you know, I mean, I guess this is probably for another model too, but just the worry about my dad and his condition and, you know, it's hard for me to withdraw completely because it's hard for me to do that and detach a little bit because yeah. I'm always worried about my dad.
Yeah.
And she takes care of my dad.
But you kind of withdraw from from your mom anyway. You're still thinking about your dad, but you kind of disconnect from your mom for a little bit of time, right?
Right.
And you're right, that is another model. The worry and the guilt is another model. But it does stem from this. Okay.
Right.
And so the result is because you're beating yourself up, you're eating and withdrawing, you're not upholding your, you know, relationship with yourself. You're not upholding your commitment to yourself either. Right?
Right.
So you're not good enough to yourself basically is what the result is of this model. Okay.
Right.
So this thought, I must not be good enough, sounds like you are giving her thoughts. This sounds a lot like she probably thinks I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you think you're good enough? If you take her, what she says out of the equation, do you think you're good enough?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is actually giving her a thought. She's just spouting off up here. You told me she's sarcastic.
Yeah.
Right?
She doesn't really have a filter.
Right? So she's spouting off. So see, this is the interesting thing to me about relationships. Okay. I just did this exercise with one of my private clients and it worked out really better than I thought it was going to be. So here's your mom.
Right.
And she has this big thought bubble up here about how mm-hmm. you should show up in the relationship and about how she should show up. She gets to say what she wants. Right. So sarcasm.
Right. Right.
He gets to withdraw from emotion. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What else did you say? She gets to cut off vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
Vulnerability. She gets to tell you what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What else?
I mean, I think she does a lot of blaming and projecting as well.
Well, that's probably a thought, but if she thinks she likes to blame, if If that's in her thought bubble, I get to blame Priya for all of my problems and my kids for all my problems. Then this is just what mom brings to the relationship. Mm-hmm. Okay. Does she like you? Does she love you?
Maybe.
How does she show you? How does she show you love?
The only way right now, I think, is actually food.
Okay.
So she cooks things for me. That's
all right. So we're going to put that up here. Cook equals love. Okay. It's probably like acts of service.
Yeah.
Maybe she doesn't know how to say, I love you, Priya. Thank you. But she can make you a cake. And that's just how she expresses love. Okay.
Right.
So this is mom. And then over here we have Priya. Okay. And your thought bubble about this relationship with your mom is you go to the store. You do appointments.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back. Right. What else?
I mean, I used to watch my dad before all of this quarantine stuff.
Okay. Watch your dad. And that's, is that a gift for him and for her?
Yeah.
Gives her free time. So that's it. Mm-hmm. All right. So what else?
I mean,
do you love her?
Yeah, I love her. Yeah.
How do you show her love?
Also acts of service, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's what these things are, actually. All these things are acts of service, right?
But I also do tell her that I'm very vocal about my love for my mom and dad, and I say it.
Yeah. So you say
I do, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So why is this toxic? Because the relationship lives up here in these thought bubbles. Why is it toxic? If you 100% know how your mom is going to react and you love her anyway, why is it toxic?
Maybe because I am trying to control what's in her thought bubble.
Yeah. It's because you have expectations of her that she's not meeting. So you have created in your mind a toxic relationship. You're calling it toxic because she is not responding to you in the way you really want her to respond to you. You have this whole list of shoulds that she's not following. Therefore, it must be a toxic relationship.
Right.
That's the connection you have made in your mind. But you 100% know she's going to do these things.
100%. Right. Right. Yeah.
And you also know that she shows you love. It might be through food or through some other act of service that you haven't really thought about yet, put some, you know, real thinking about in yet.
Right.
But this is your mom. This is the person she's going to be. If there's one thing about your mom I can tell you by looking at this, she's probably very authentic. Right? What you see is what you get with your mom.
Yeah.
She's not hiding anything.
No.
Right? But what the biggest problem is, she's not acting the way you want her to act.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, because you haven't accepted her as the person she is in the relationship, toxicity is on you.
Yeah. I mean, how do I?
I bet you wanted me to fix your mom, didn't you?
No. I mean, I've sort of been reading up on all of this too, and trying to go back into the older calls about, I guess, self-confidence and validation and trying to seek validation from others.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I just don't know how to get to the point of not expecting those things from her.
Well, if you had to guess, how old are you?
33. I just turned 33.
In the next 33 years, if you had to estimate the number of times she's going to tell you, I'm proud of you, how many would it be?
Maybe one.
Yeah. Because it's probably been how many in the first 33 years?
Maybe one or two.
So why do you expect that of her? That's not how she loves you. She loves you with a sheet cake or whatever Indian food she makes for you that's delicious, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like the difference, you know, you said acts of service, so you know the five love languages. It's like expecting her to have words of validation that she knows how to speak. And she doesn't.
Right. She won't have, yeah.
Words of affirmation is the love language.
Right.
That's not her love language. She might be a zero in words of affirmation. She doesn't know how to say that. So expecting her to do that so that this relationship isn't toxic is sort of unreasonable. It's not a reasonable expectation of her.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm.
She may be showing you in other ways, though, that she is proud of you or grateful for you. And it might be just in food, but there might be other ways she's showing you as well that you haven't seen yet.
Right.
So if I were you, I would go through the relationships, the virtual workshop we just did, all those worksheets on your mom, every single one of them. Go through that weekend workshop and do it with your mom in mind. See what you can learn about. There's another really good tool in there called, I can't remember exactly what it's called. I think it's called Another Perspective or Looking at the Other Perspective, where you actually drop into her model and you create what it is she's thinking in the moment.
Okay.
And that can be really powerful. If you put yourself in her shoes for a minute, mm-hmm. when she is managing your dad's health.
Right.
And reacting with sarcasm and not being vulnerable and, you know, all these, and reacting in a way that you perceive, you know, not to be great. She could be doing that from a feeling of worry or angst or stress or panic or something with regard to your dad's health. What if you can't go to 10 grocery stores? Maybe that's just how it's manifesting.
Right.
That's why I want you to do this workshop with her in mind, because if you're able to drop into her model, if you're able to actually take a peek into what she might be thinking and feeling from that perspective, mm-hmm. it may help you understand her more, where this becomes this relationship, you know, between the thought bubbles has a little bit more understanding involved in it.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Yeah, my mind is blown. That was amazing.
Good. I'm glad I blew your mind. No, seriously.
It just gives me a lot of perspective and, you know, that's awesome. Okay. So thank you.
You're welcome. Is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Let's see. Here we go. All right. Take care. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. See ya. Carolyn and then Allison.
Hi, Kathy.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. What's up? Are we talking about your boss again?
No, we're talking about my father-in-law.
Your father-in-law, okay.
So Betsy has handled my father-in-law up until now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So actually, what you said was very enlightening to Priya, mm-hmm. but my toddler brain keeps throwing up a thought that I need help laddering.
Okay.
So I'm trying to use the right words and the right thoughts to describe it. My father-in-law and I have never had a great relationship. Toddler brain has perceived him as a difficult person, a manipulative person, and a selfish person.
Okay.
I know those are my shoulds getting all over him, but I'm struggling to work out of the shoulds. So I did the relationship course again with him in mind last week. And I kept getting stuck.
Okay.
And I think it's because my shoulds are driving. Mm-hmm. And I think my shoulds are driving unfairly because I keep comparing him to my father. Mm-hmm. But I haven't figured out how to break that habit of comparing him to my father.
Tell me where you got stuck.
The thought that he is selfish and manipulative, trying to ladder that and change that and find ways that he does show love. And I got stuck.
Well, give me an example of a time he was selfish and manipulative. See if we can go at it from that direction.
So he constantly doesn't commit to anything. He shows up at the last minute, doesn't allow me time to plan. He will cancel 10 minutes before something starts. It's been years of this just accumulating. Take our wedding, for instance. He offered to pay for some things. And at the last minute, he says, oh, well, I'm going to remodel my bathroom instead because people might stay here. And we're sitting there going, I call him Randy. I'm like, Randy, we're getting married 5 hours away from your house. Nobody's going to be staying there.
He goes, well, so he made a choice where he was going to spend his money.
Yes.
Which is that a problem?
It would have been fine if he hadn't committed to it ahead of time.
Why?
Because I ended up being short money I had allotted for.
Did it get paid for?
It did.
Yeah. So you figured it out.
I did.
Why is this a problem?
I ended up having to pay more for it because I had to charge it.
Okay. Are you making it mean about you?
I make it mean about me that we're not valued in his eyes. We're not as valuable as his time and his energy and his...
That's probably the thought. We're not valued in his eyes. So we're back to the same place Priya was, right? You're giving him thoughts.
Oh, yes. That's a big problem. Okay. I do
that. Yeah. So father-in-law made a choice that you didn't agree with. We're not valued in his eyes. This is 100% your thought. Has nothing to do with him other than he's in the thought. This is not his thought. This is your thought. Okay? He just made a choice. He made a choice. So when you think this, you feel what?
I was angry.
Angry? Shocking. You go to anger pretty quick, don't you?
I do. It's not a great habit that I'm working on.
Well, I don't want to get into a big sidebar, but that's your indulgent emotion. When you get uncomfortable, you get angry. Okay.
Yes. Very valid.
If you had to pick a second one, what would it be? If we peeled off the anger for a minute, what would be underneath it?
I think it would be sad.
Sad.
And there's a thought that generates that's different than the one above.
What's that?
That he doesn't care about my husband as much as he does about his other son, because he treats the two very differently.
Okay. It's kind of a combo thought, right? We're not valuing his eyes as much as the other son.
Yes. Right?
And that's sad. Is it hurt also?
Yes.
So the anger, which is easy for you to access, is really kind of, it's easy for you to be angry because you don't want to feel hurt.
Yes, it's very true.
Yeah. So if we go with hurt or sad, what are the actions? Not angry. Because angry is going to be to yell at him, to lash out, you know, to yell at your husband, to do that.
I don't do that when I'm angry. I stuff it down with food.
Okay. Do you do that with sad and hurt too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So eat.
Hence why I'm here in TMP. We shove it all down with food. That's how I've been doing it.
Funny thing, a lot of times the models I do with you guys have eat in the action line or drink, right? What else? What else do you do?
I will cry. There's been times where I've called my mom and bitched to my mom because my mom is in the same, she feeds into this toddler brain a little bit because she mm-hmm. has issues with him as well.
Mm-hmm. So you look for validation from her.
I do. Guilty.
Yeah. Anything else?
I've started TDLing. I've done TDLs on this.
You're doing TDLs from another place. You're not doing TDLs because you're hurt. You're doing TDLs because you want to fix it.
Valid.
Okay. Because you want to come out of the hurt. So TDL is a great place, a great thing to put in the action line, but it usually comes from a thought like, let's see what I can figure out about this. I'm ready to turn the corner on this. Right.
Yeah. Tried to move to.
Yeah. So what do you think this results in?
Make the toxic relationship because of the shoulds.
I think you're not, because you're eating, crying, calling your mom, I think you're not valuing yourself either.
That's true.
You're not valuing yourself and your relationship and whatever. Okay. So that's what I would put here. Valuing yourself. Or you're devaluing yourself because you're eating and crying and calling mom rather than talking to him about his choice. Right? So he's out here. Let's just pretend for a minute. He's out here thinking, what's your husband's name?
Martin.
Carolyn and Martin, they got this wedding handled and I really have to do something with this bathroom. Probably his thought. Probably just a simple, I you know what? This bathroom's coming apart. I'm not going to have a place to go to the bathroom if I don't fix this. So they'll figure that out. I'm figuring this out. Move on. But you have made it personal. Maybe it was personal, but you didn't have to choose to make it personal. Okay, so back to relationships and thought bubbles. If in your thought bubble, how you show up in that relationship is he doesn't value me, he's difficult, he's manipulative and selfish, that's how you're going to show up. You're going to show up in those ways, right? So if we were to put those in this thought line, he's difficult, manipulative, and selfish, you're probably going to have the same kind of action line, right? You're still going to be angry, hurt, sad because you're judging and judgmental. Your action line is not going to get any better, right? And you're not valuing yourself in the relationship.
I also place distance. I've discovered.
Yeah, as well. Withdraw.
Yes.
Yeah. All because you have a thought about how he should show up in the relationship. This is the theme of relationship coaching. You can't control him. You know, it's just like what we did with Priya. He's got his own thought bubble going on up here. How he thinks he needs to show up is probably pretty simple. I'm just going to do these things. I'm going to show love these ways or not show love these ways. I'm just going to be me. He's authentic. He's doing what he's going to do. And in your thought bubble, you have all these judgments about his thought bubble. And you're bringing that into your relationship with him.
This is true. And I've realized that, but I'm the ladder is where I keep getting stuck.
Okay. So let's work the ladder.
So I'll make a new intentional thought and I'll try to practice it. Mm-hmm. And then he'll do something odd. Mm-hmm. And toddler brain goes, see, we shouldn't be laddering.
Yeah. So this is what a thought ladder is for all of my new people. So we have our super duper pie in the sky intentional thought up here. And down here we have the thought we've been practicing. Thought practiced. And Carolyn's thought she's practiced is he's difficult, manipulative, and selfish.
Yep.
Difficult, manipulative, and selfish. Okay, so what's your next level up?
I've tried to get to, he has anxiety and this is how he copes with things.
So is that the intentional?
I don't know. I think the intentional is I want to try to accept him as he is and love him the way he is and not have disdain.
Okay. So maybe the feeling you want from this is acceptance, right?
Yes.
Okay. So in between here, we have different tweaks we can make to this unintentional model, unintentional thought to create the thought that we want, right? So the unintentional one is basically the unconscious thought. This is the one that you keep thinking. So when you ladder up, you practice a new thought. What is the new thought? What is the ladder? What's the next level up for you?
The one that you... I've been trying to do, this is just the way he is. This is Randy.
Okay. That's probably too big a jump.
It might be.
Yeah. Because that's what you said was the intentional thought. What's the middle one?
That's where I'm trying to find the middle and I can't find. I've gotten to, this is Randy. This is how he is. Mm-hmm. If I want to continue this relationship, I can either say something or accept what I choose not to confront about. Mm-hmm.
So none of those are believable to you?
No.
All right. So what if we just went a little bit up and said, I keep thinking. He's difficult, manipulative, and selfish. What happens here, or so, how about sometimes I think? Sometimes, I like that better. Sometimes I think he's difficult, manipulative, and selfish. What that does, adding those words to the beginning, tells your brain that you don't think it all the time and that it's a thought. I mean, you told me he's difficult, manipulative, and selfish like you were reading the news.
Yes, and I've known that's a problem for a while.
Yeah. So I think your next level up could be something like, sometimes I think he's difficult, manipulative, and selfish. That gives your brain an opportunity to look for those times when he's not. Because I bet if I were to ask you and give you like 10 seconds, you could tell me a time where he wasn't difficult, manipulative, or selfish. Could you do that?
So I did the exercise that Corinne gave one of the girls on the last day of camp, last day of the course of find three things. Mm-hmm. I could find one. Yes.
Okay. So then this thought, then you can practice this thought. Sometimes I think.
Yes. Right?
So then maybe the next thought is just I'm open to finding new thoughts to think about him. And then you define what those might be. They could be, maybe he's not a complete ass, maybe he's only a half ass. That would be a new thought, right?
Yes.
Maybe he's got some anxiety. Maybe I need to take a pause and think about, how would I react if I had anxiety?
Well, we have that. We just respond in very different ways.
Yeah. You get angry. He diverts money or does whatever he does.
He likes to hide from the issue. I take the bull by the horns and just figure it out.
Yeah. So that's just the difference in being individuals. You expect him to react a certain way, and he's not doing that. Therefore, you've decided he's difficult, manipulative, and selfish. And he's just probably just, if he's got anxiety, that selfish part comes out, he's just trying to cope. He's trying to figure it out for him. He's not worried about you because he got the anxiety going on or whatever's going on.
Yeah.
What happens when you drop into his model and you think just for a minute, what could be going on for him? Like I just created a whole story about his bathroom didn't work at the time, you know, he promised you money for your wedding. Maybe his toilet broke. I don't know. But whatever, you know, he made a decision that was his action line based on a thought and a feeling, and you just don't know what those were. You decided it was because he was, you know, difficult, manipulative, and selfish. and yes. never late and doesn't keep his word and all this kind of stuff, when you just told me there is one, at least one good thing about him that you've come up with.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It does. I need to find ways to practice more in the moment, I think, because whenever I interact, something funky happens mm-hmm. and the toddler brain starts driving and I haven't figured yeah. out how to interrupt the toddler brain.
And that's because you are continually practicing that one thought. I would create your thought ladder all the way up to this one. And this one, this next level might be, I'm learning to anticipate his anxiety and how he copes, or something like that. You know, give yourself the grace to say, I'm learning something new. And then you write models for each of these thoughts as you work up the ladder. And you practice them and you write them every day and you think about new actions you would take and whether or not this result is, you know, balancing back to the thought. Is it really reflecting the thought? Okay.
Okay.
And then eventually what you do as you work your way up the ladder with the new thoughts, you know, they get increasingly more toward your pie in the sky thought, is that once you practice those actions over and over and practice those models and create the results, you see that you're able to move up the ladder. Does that make sense?
It does. I guess my only question is, I've heard Corinne say before, I think she says you end up, I'm going to slaughter this.
It's okay.
But she's like, you can only blame yourself for not confronting the issue or something along those lines. But how do you know when it's appropriate to confront?
All right. So when she says confronting the issue, in this case, I think what you need to confront is what's going on in your mind, not what he's doing. Okay. Is he pretty predictable?
No.
He's not predictable at all. Even though no. you know he's going to show up late.
Well, last Sunday, he showed up out of the blue on the end of our driveway and didn't call ahead of time. I was not expecting that during COVID.
Okay.
That was
for sure. So he's predictable in his unpredictability.
Yes.
He's predictably unpredictable. So what yes. you have to do in order to repair the relationship in your mind is you have to work on your thoughts about him. Okay? He's not going to change. You have to just assume Randy is going to be Randy. As unpredictable as he is and whatever. He's predictably unpredictable. Yeah. As you know, the way he shows up is going to be authentically Randy. So it's your job. If you want to have a relationship with him, it's your job to move toward accepting the person he is. You might not be able to do that real quick, but I can tell you, if you want to have a relationship based on a thought that, you know, these three things that you use to describe him, you're doing a really good job with that. So you could work yourself up into something that's a little bit different than this if you chose to. And the last thing I'll say is, he's not your dad.
Yes.
It's unfair to him to compare him to your dad.
Yeah, I got to that point. I realized I had an irrational thought. Mm-hmm. About the two of them. And I realized it was irrational. And I've been trying to change it, but it's still, it's been a struggle.
Do you want him to be like your dad?
Yeah, I love my dad. My dad's amazing.
Okay. But do you want Randy to be like your dad? Or do you want to love Randy for who he is?
On some level, I understand that they're going to be different. I just wish that, here come the shoulds, he would show that he loved us and it wasn't just about him and what he wanted.
There, he is probably showing you love in a way that you are not seeing. He showed up at the end of your driveway, right? During COVID. Do you know why he did that?
Toddler brain says it's because he's lonely.
Maybe he is. Maybe he wanted to fill his loneliness with you and Martin.
Yeah.
So why is that a bad thing?
I made it a bad thing because I burnt dinner in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. I was mad about that.
Yeah. Because of your reaction to him, because you've practiced this thought so much.
Yes.
Right? So if you decide to set this thought aside, what happens? You keep talking about toddler brain. This thought is so well practiced that it's going to keep coming. You just have to decide whether or not you're going to let it complete your model. If you're going to let it make you angry and do all the things and pull away from the relationship, then you just keep on practicing it. But if you really want to repair the relationship, you have to do it in your mind. And you have to see this thought that the toddler brain throws at you, that's the unconscious practice thought, and say, all right, we're going to set that one aside. What else can I think right now? I can think, well, maybe he's lonely. Which is a step up from, he just showed up again. Right?
Well, toddler brain said he was lonely because he did it to himself. So,
yeah. So?
Not proud of the toddler brain right now when it comes to him.
It's because the toddler brain is working from a hurt model.
Yeah.
You just have to recognize that and allow it to be there and decide whether or not you really, is that the model you really want to play with right now?
It's very true. Mm-hmm. Thank you as always, Kathleen. You always open my eyes in a new way.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Allison?
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Okay. Who are we talking about?
We're talking about me and my ex-girlfriend.
Okay.
So she broke up with me about a month ago out of the blue. And it's been extremely hard for me.
Okay.
My anxiety has been, and my depression has been out of control. And in turn, I don't eat, I don't sleep. I have all these thoughts that come through my head about her and what she's doing and who she's with. And I don't know how to stop them.
Okay. You say anxious?
Oh, yeah.
Why are you anxious?
Because it's something I can't control. I don't know why. I don't understand.
Why are you anxious when you think about the breakup?
I don't know. I didn't expect it. I get anxious of, like, during the first couple weeks, like if there was something here of her still, like anxious of, oh my God, I got to see her, or oh my God, I got to talk to her, but it's not that anymore. So I don't know why. I think I'm anxious. Like, these are my thoughts. Like, I tried to work with why am I angry, or why am I sad, or what am I fearing? Mm-hmm. And then it's almost like I don't want to think about those things because I'm so scared to hurt. Mm-hmm. And then I think, I don't know where anxiety comes from. I'm not very familiar with anxiety. So I've only had it a couple times in my life, but now, I mean, it's extremely bad.
Mm-hmm. So what is it possible that you're feeling anxious because you're resisting the feelings of hurt? Because you're not allowing yourself to feel hurt. It's almost like when you have a breakup like this, how long were you guys together?
Just a little over a year.
A little over a year.
I mean, I've been in longer relationships, but I don't think I've loved someone so much as I loved her.
So is it possible that you're grieving her? Grieving the relationship?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So why aren't you letting yourself be sad about it?
I don't know. Because I don't want to be sad.
Right.
I don't want that.
And that's probably what's causing the anxiety. I don't want to be sad. What's wrong with being sad?
I feel like I'm always the type of person that just wants to be happy. Mm-hmm. And like, I want things to go good. And I mean, I know there's times where I might be sad or upset, but like, I just can't shake it.
Mm-hmm. And so go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just don't know how to keep moving forward.
And that's because you're not letting yourself be sad. So there's a concept that Corinne teaches, the 50-50, where life is half positive and half negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have positive thoughts, negative thoughts, happy feelings, sad feelings. If you don't allow the sadness, you won't really recognize the happy. You know, think about the little girl who, you know, cuts her finger and it hurts and she's sad and she cries. And mom comes in and she has an ice cream cone and she says, "Here, how about some ice cream?" And the little girl is happy, right? If she wasn't sad, the ice cream wouldn't be as meaningful. Or the hug from her mom or whatever it is that mom came in with wouldn't be as meaningful to her. Mm-hmm. So in order for you to actually feel happy, you have to feel sad sometimes. It's like a continuum. It's like a, you know, like a, I don't know, what do you call it? It's, I don't know what to call it, but you know what I'm saying here, right? It's, mm-hmm. You can have a real narrow focus of emotions or you can have a real broad focus of emotions. If you're always wanting to be happy, you're not truly happy. You're just there.
Yeah.
Okay. You're not appreciating happy because you don't feel the sad. Spectrum. Thank you, Tammy. Spectrum. So this thought, I don't want to be sad, doesn't serve you. So let's talk about sad for just a minute. When you feel sad, something happens in your body. You tell me what, when you feel sad, what physical happens in your body? You cry, right?
Yeah.
What else?
I lose motivation.
No, I want physical feelings. Does your stomach hurt? Okay. Does your head hurt? Do your shoulders slump? Do you smile? Do you frown? Physically happens?
I mean, my stomach feels funny. Like I always think that's anxiety. But I mean, I've gotten sad before where that's, you know, I haven't had that anxiety like I have now. I like sulk, or I don't know what as good a word is, like, I shut down. I don't talk.
You're still not telling me what physically happens. And I bet it's because you don't let yourself be sad.
Probably. I don't like being sad.
All right. So you people in the chat, everybody give me, the next 10 people in the chat, give me something that happens in your body when you feel sad. Play this game with me. Darkness in chest, tight throat, feel hollow, headache, sigh a lot, heart tightness in chest, feel heavy, heart racing, crying, tight chest, heavy eyes, lump in throat. Do you see?
Yeah.
You see?
I mean, my heart races like crazy. I get super warm.
When you're sad or when you're anxious?
Probably when I'm anxious.
Yeah.
But yeah. Feeling heavy, there's like rocks in me. Like I just, mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's like a heavy feeling.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things I tell people who are grieving is that they have to honor the sadness. Okay. You've had a loss. It's not a death, but it's a loss. You have to allow yourself to be sad in order to move through the grieving process. So I was coaching a girl one time who had lost her mother, and I asked her, she said, I don't want to cry anymore. I want to be done with this. And so I asked her, I said, the last time you cried, she told me, I feel like I can't stop crying. Okay. I said, the last time you cried, you stopped, right? Because you're not crying right now. She's like, oh yeah. So what happens with an emotion or feeling like sadness, like any feeling, is it, if you think about being at the beach, it's like a wave that comes crashing in. Mm-hmm. Anxiety will do this too, right? And then after it crashes onto the shore, it recedes. So you see that wave coming and coming and coming and coming. It intensifies. It gets, you know, stronger, stronger, stronger until you're crying really hard. And then you almost stop crying. You start to stop crying as it recedes. Okay. Allowing a feeling to do that will help you so much more than pushing away the feeling. If you're resisting the feeling, you're fighting it and you're not letting it do its thing. So the intensifying, you know, heaviness or crying or throat tightening or whatever is the worst thing that's going to happen when you feel sad. That's all it is. You have a feeling of sadness that creates a sensation in your body that comes on like a wave and then recedes. And it will do that in a cycle as long as you allow it to. But each time you allow it, it becomes easier to handle. Your brain says, oh, wait, this is just a feeling. I can do this. This isn't that bad.
Mm-hmm.
You believe me?
I do. It's true because I don't want to feel these things. Like I haven't been on this side of a relationship in a really, really long time. And so like, I don't think I've ever gone through this process, which is probably why I'm struggling with it the most. I don't want to feel those things. Like, I don't want to cry. I don't want to be sad. I just want to be over it. I just want to go on with my life.
Yeah.
And I try to like think about the positive things in this. Like, you know, I probably dodged a bullet and it would have came sooner or later. And,
yeah.
You know, like I try to think of those things.
Yeah. But none of that's going to work until you allow yourself to be sad, until you allow yourself to grieve the relationship.
Yeah.
Once you convince your brain that you can be sad and live through it, then you'll start seeing spaces where, you know, maybe this was okay. You know, I miss her, but I don't miss this about her. You know, your brain will start to open up to new things, but you have to let it get through that sadness first.
I think about a big part is too, is that she did some hurtful things at the end. And then I, you know, just messed up things. And I think too that I'm still, like, I'm holding on to that, like, anger of how did I let someone so horrible in my life for a whole year, in my family's life for a whole year, and never even saw it coming. Like, I never saw this coming, you know? And so it's like, I don't even want to feel sad or feel like I'm missing out on something because I'm just so mad too at her.
Yeah, because you're beating yourself up for caring about somebody who did those things. Yeah. That's not going to help. The fact that she did those things is in the past.
Yeah.
It's done. You can still be angry about it if you want, but it's not going to help you get over the sadness. It's not going to help you move through the process of healing. And what you're doing to yourself actually is, it's like I said, by not allowing that, you're just creating the anxiety. Your body doesn't know what to do with the emotion. So it's just going to, just going to create some anxiety around it.
Yeah. So do I just sit here and just wait for it? I mean, I think yesterday I had a day of it because I woke up and I thought I was feeling pretty good, like Saturday. And then yesterday I woke up and I just cried most of the day. Yeah. Like I couldn't stop. Like,
yeah, no, you did. You stopped because you're not crying now. Well, right. I would journal.
It just came and went all day.
I would journal a lot. Okay. I would start with a question like, something very, very easy. Why am I grieving this relationship? Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's going to start with, because I loved her. We spent a year together. Da, da, da. It's going to start with everything that's creating the hurt. And I would repeat that same journal question for 7 days, because what will happen is that your journaling will morph. It'll change. You'll hit the surface issues the first time. You get a little bit deeper the next time, a little bit deeper the next time. Okay. Yeah. And it's going to help you process the pain of losing the relationship, of losing your relationship with her. And it's going to help you get down to the nitty gritty bottom parts of it that, you know, are the real reasons that you're sad. And just from what you said here, you're sad because she's gone, but you're also sad because you didn't see it coming. You didn't see the things that she was doing. And I think that's where you need to get in order to repair the whole thing. You have to repair the relationship with how yourself and how you perceived you showed up in the last few days.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So journal, 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 and watch it. Okay. Watch it develop for you. It'll be fascinating the way it develops. About a year ago, I was given some news that made me really angry. I felt used. I felt treated unfairly. I mean, the whole kit and caboodle. I was like totally in the blame game. How could this person do this to me, right? And I journaled on it. After about 7 days, it was totally changed. And it ended up me not being angry with them, but being disappointed in myself because I didn't show up the way I wanted to. So it was just totally, not saying that's how yours is going to do, but what happens when you journal on the same question that has a deep meaning to you is that you end up getting down to the deeper issue. But you have to do it for a good 5, 6, 7 days.
Okay.
With intentionality. Really dig. Okay. Be honest with yourself about what you're thinking and feeling. Does that help?
Okay. Yeah.
Gives you something very much. Gives you a direction to go in to examine your brain.
That's what I need.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy.
All right. Take care.
You too.
All right. Let's do one more. Who's next? Lisa. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
It's nice to meet you.
You too. What's up?
This is my first call, so I'm excited.
All right.
I want to talk about my relationship with my son.
Okay.
And I want more of a relationship with him. And I don't know how to go about creating that. I mean, a little backstory is I divorced my husband 4 years ago, his father, and my son, who will turn 30 tomorrow, he's an introvert. He's always been closer to his dad than me. And then I've always been closer to my younger son. And my youngest son moved to Denver and isn't around anymore. So now my oldest son, who's more of a daddy's son, I want him to fill the gap that his brother left in my life, to be quite honest.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because I have no family here. Mm-hmm. So now the son who's the introvert and who's used to not being the star, I'm wanting him to be that person for me that his brother was. So I don't know how to, I know it's not in his wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. Because his brother is an extrovert. They're totally opposites. Mm-hmm. You know, one's a salesman with personality and nobody's a stranger. And then his brother is happy to be the introvert, the smart one that just is reflective. But he doesn't have to be the center of attention or doesn't have to have people around him.
Why does he need to be like your brother? Like his brother. Sorry. Why does he need to be like his brother?
It's because of the relationship. So I have a really good relationship with my younger son. Mm-hmm. And now he's 800 miles away. He doesn't come home like he used to. Mm-hmm. I miss him.
Yeah.
So I'm filling that hole and I'm putting that pressure on my older son. Mm-hmm. But I've tried not to. To give him grace because I know how he is, but like I suggested, let's go to dinner on Sundays or let's go to brunch. And before COVID hit, and like, let's, you know, because he lives about an hour and a half away, I'm like, let's meet halfway in between and we'll, you know, start going to a restaurant on Sundays. And he just doesn't want to, doesn't seem interested. And so there's that. And then I worry about his life too, because he's turning 30 and he has no girlfriend and isn't dating. And
were you worried about him when the other son was in town?
Yes.
Okay. So that's really not an issue here.
No.
That's just mama.
Yeah.
The issue here is you want him to be somebody he's not.
Yes. Because I want for him.
So did you listen to the relationships coaching, the relationships workshop at all, the virtual workshop?
Yes, parts of it.
Did you hear my coaching?
I don't think I did. Okay. Do I need to go in there?
I think it applies. I really think it applies. I have two sons as well. The older one is very demonstrative, very, I wouldn't call him extroverted, but he is very thoughtful, very put together. He's married and he has three children and one that is due this week. So he has a fourth child due this week.
Congratulations.
He came by the house yesterday with the whole family and they all stayed in the car and he came to the front door and arms outstretched, handed me a plant and said, I love you. Happy Mother's Day. You know, come wave at the kids out in the car and all the things. And I did. Really warm and fuzzy, just like you and that's your younger son.
Yeah, younger son.
Demonstrative like that, right? My younger son is also married and he is that guy that would be happy to sit at home and watch TV in his underwear and his favorite shorts forever.
We have the same sons.
If I call him, he will talk to me. And he'll, you know, we'll have a conversation and all that. If I invite him over, he may or may not come. If I'm invited to his house, it's because his wife invited me. But he doesn't love me any less than the older son does. At least that's what I've decided. They're just two different people. Okay? So I love, Jason's the older one. I love everything about Jason. He is the man he is. He's, you know, 29 years old, got this family, doing great. I also love Greg, who wears the same shorts. That's what the coaching's about. All the time. He wears the same shorts. He called me on Mother's Day at about 8 o'clock last night because his wife hounded him all day long. You called your mother? You called your mother? You called your mother? And when I got on the phone, he says, well, I'm calling you for Mother's Day. I said, it's because Grace told you to, right? And he says, yeah. And she's in the background laughing. But I know he loves me. But I also know that if I push him to do things that he doesn't want to do or isn't comfortable doing, it will only distance us. So I love him for the person he is. The introverted, stay at home, you know, wear the same shorts kind of guy that he is. That's how I show up in that love, that relationship, is with full acceptance of the type of person that he is. I don't try to make him into Jason. And the reason I bring all this up is because when I did the shoulds worksheet, and that's where I get coached, I decided I was going to do the whole workshop on Greg. I thought this will be easy. I can at least work through the stuff. You know, I've got a good relationship with him. No problem. First thought in my head when I did that shoulds worksheet was he should be more like Jason. And I was like, oh no, there's definitely work here, right? Because he shouldn't. Your thought that one son should take the place of the other one is not helpful to you or to him. That son should fill in the gaps is not helpful to your relationship. It will only create distance in your relationship because you are trying to create a person that he's not. So calling him up and saying, hey, I'm free Sunday. Are you? You want to meet? You got to be ready for yes, no, maybe. I'll think about it or whatever. It's not his job to fill his brother's shoes. It's his job to be him.
I know. And they're not living in my basement. I keep going back to that too. It's like, they did a good job. They have good job. I mean, they got them out of college. They're good young men and they're working.
They're each contributing to the world in their unique way. And they're contributing to your world in their unique way. They're not going to be the same. One's not better than the other. Those are the thoughts you need to practice.
I know that.
What is this son's name, the introvert?
Zach.
Zach?
Yeah. And so the extrovert is Ian.
Zach and Ian. So you need to practice the thought, I love Zach for exactly the person he is. Because you do, right?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. I 100% love Zach and accept the person he is. 100% love Ian and accept the person he is. A little mad that he's 800 miles away, but right. I'll get used to it.
The difference, too, is like Ian we would talk about our feelings, what's going on. He'll ask me, how you doing, Mom? Mm-hmm. Or he'll ask me, are you dating anybody? And mm-hmm. my oldest son would be mortified to ask me anything or to share anything.
It's not his thing.
I know. And I want more of a relationship with him. And I don't know how to.
But your relationship with Zach is going to be different than your relationship with Ian. It's not going to be the same because they're two different people.
And that has to be okay.
Yeah. My relationship with Jason is different than my relationship with Greg, but I love them both the same. There's an exercise. I want you to do the relationships workshop, the virtual relationships workshop.
Okay.
Course with Zach in mind.
Okay.
And I want you to specifically pay attention to, what was it called? I want to pull this up and tell you. I can't remember exactly what it's called. The lesson on, hang with me here. It's called the No BS Relationships Workshop.
Okay.
And the specific lesson I want you to focus on is the inner circle. Okay. So the concept of the inner circle, for all of you who don't know, is very similar to the concept that the Life Coach School podcast did on Want Match. And basically what it is you have this list of things. It's really easy for me to teach this by example. But basically, you have this list of things that complete your life. Maybe you like to travel. You like to cook. You like to talk about your feelings. So let's just create a list. Travel, cook, talk about feelings.
I'm a big person on art and design, so that's part of my life.
Art and design. Give me one other thing that's important in your life. I just made up travel and cook. Can we keep them?
Yeah, you can keep those.
Okay. What's one other thing?
Gardening. I love my yard.
Yard.
Dig in the yard, plant flowers. Okay.
So if you had to guess, who is the person you are most closest to in the whole world? Just Ian?
Hi, Ian, yeah. Okay. Well, and my sisters.
And your sisters.
Yeah.
So give me one person.
Oh, that's really hard.
Just pick one. Let's pick Ian.
Let's pick Ian. Okay.
Ian fills this need for you. He'll talk about his feelings with you.
Oh, yes.
All day long, every day, yeah. Right? Does he feel any of these others?
He helps me in the yard, and he likes to travel.
Okay.
And he will travel with me. Zach won't travel with me anymore.
Okay. So you still have cook and art and design. Who does these things with you? Who cooks with you? Who likes to talk about cooking?
Ian. Ian's a cook too. Last night he was on the phone telling me about what he made.
What about art and design?
Art and design is my sister and my girlfriends.
Okay. So look, the reason this is important is because one person almost never fulfills our entire wants in our lives, even if you're married. Okay. So one of the ways we taught this in the workshop is Corinne loves to travel. Chris does too, but only to Las Vegas. He will only go to Vegas. So Corinne's best friend, Jane, travels with Corinne. when they go to see different places. If they decide they want to go to San Antonio, they meet in San Antonio. If they decide they want to go somewhere else, they meet somewhere else. Chris doesn't want to go.
Right.
Corinne loves concerts. Lots of dancing, singing, you know, whatever concerts, not Chris's thing.
Right.
All day long, he will let someone else go to concerts with Corinne. Because what happens is, if she forced him to go to a conference, he'd be miserable. He'd hate it. And it would create distance in the relationship. Right?
That's why I don't take my son's shopping.
Right? Because they would hate it.
Yeah.
So the concept of the inner circle tells us that we have to have different people in our lives to fulfill the different needs. Now, for most of us, for me, my husband, it's kind of like Ian in this. He fulfills most of them. Okay. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't, not all of them. He will not go get a pedicure with me. He's like a hard no on a pedicure. Right?
Right.
But there's a need somewhere that you can create to fill with Zach. And it might be, you know, just meeting him every now and then for brunch. Or it might be allowing him the space to be the person that he is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he bought me tickets to the ball game last summer for my birthday.
Mm-hmm. Did he go with you?
Yeah, but I'm like, that's something he loves.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, but I want to spend time with you.
Right?
Anything, I don't really care where it is.
I don't care if it's to a mud wrestling match. If I don't get to see this boy, I'm going to do whatever he wants to do because I love him and I want to spend time with him.
Right. And for me, that
was a huge expression of love for him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, he, for Mother's Day, they didn't do anything. Well, I shouldn't say they didn't do anything. They tried to send me flowers, but he couldn't get flowers delivered. And so he bought me that flower book from Floret Farm. I don't know if people know who he is. Mm-hmm. So I was like, that's pretty thoughtful. Mm-hmm.
So, this was Zach?
Zach. Yeah, Zach is a giver. He's definitely thoughtful.
Mm-hmm. His love language is gifts.
It is. He bought me a Weber grill for Mother's Day.
Oh my gosh. And you're saying this boy doesn't connect with you? Look at him. He's giving you these great gifts. That's how he shows love for you. He doesn't need quality time.
He doesn't
ask for it.
Yeah.
Right? Ian is probably a quality time kind of guy.
Yeah. He gets lost in the time and he'll be like, oh, I need to go do this. I'm running late.
The reason you connect so well with Ian is probably your need for quality time. So you share that.
Yeah.
So when it comes to Zach, you have to recognize how he's showing you love.
Yeah.
Right? And appreciate that part of him.
Right.
Quality time might not be something he needs. So he doesn't know how to express it.
No, he kind of comes in and out of town too. He doesn't stay long. He's here, disappears.
Yeah.
But, you know, I also worry about him, like, I feel like he's like this hermit and such an introvert. I'm like.
And the only reason you worry about that is because that's not something you understand.
Yeah.
Is he happy?
He seems to be. I mean, he's put on some weight, but, you know.
Yeah. If he's happy, then you don't need to worry about him. Just let him be him. Okay.
It's hard because then I could think, okay, when he's 60 or 70 years old and if he hasn't married anybody and who's going to be there, his brother will be for them, mm-hmm. be there for him, but now you worry about him.
That's what mamas do.
You do?
Come in and you start spinning out in, he's not happy, he won't get married, he always stays by himself, you have to just stop it and say, he's happy with who he is.
Right. So okay. True.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Do that workshop with him in mind and really think about how he shows you love and appreciate the person that he is. Okay.
All right.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye. All right. Let's see what's going on in the Q&A here real quick. How could I do an intentional model for the situation with my mom? Priya. Decide the result you want to create with the relationship and work the model up. How about that? Maybe you want to the result to be, I don't get angry today, or I don't respond to sarcasm today. And then decide what you have to do to not to create that result, how you have to feel and what you have to think. That's what I would suggest. Decide how you want to think about your mom. Maybe your thought is, I'm curious to figure out how she shows me love. Yeah, I'm curious to learn more about improving my relationship with her. Let's see. When you were coaching on the father-in-law, you said his action might have been personal, but you don't need to make it personal. What does that mean? If it is personal, why shouldn't we take it that way? You get to decide how you're going to take it. Okay. The father-in-law might not like her either, but that doesn't mean she has to hold a grudge or, consider him manipulative. She can love him anyway. All right. Have you ever been in a relationship or known someone that aggravated the hell out of you, but they thought you were the bee's knees, the cat's meow? You know, it's just because when you have relationships, it's all built on what you think about that person. So I could think Carolyn was my best friend in the entire world. I think Carolyn is the cat's meow, right? Carolyn could think, as Coach Kathy, I like her, she's okay, but you know, whatever. They might not match and that's okay. So he could think it's personal. She could decide it was personal or not. It's all based on what you're thinking. Every bit of it is based on how you think about the relationship, because your thoughts create your feelings, which drive your actions, which create the results in the relationship. So basically, in the case of someone promising you someone and not following through, instead of holding a grudge or feeling hurt about the person, think about why they could have done what they did. Sure, you can, or you can just decide they didn't follow through. Oh, well, that's okay. I can hold a grudge or not. Because really, if you're holding a grudge, who is that hurting? Think about it. It's only creating the turmoil inside of you. You're not hurting them by holding a grudge, right? You're just hurting yourself. That's why the model is so powerful. You know, your thoughts create the anxiety or the panic or the anger or the hurt or the sadness, not somebody else. What you think about somebody else is what's creating that. That's what's so important about the model, y'all. I really want y'all to see that. The C line is they did or said something. Or said, can't write, said something, right? You have a thought about it. That's wrong. I don't care. That's right. Oh gosh, maybe I should think that too. Whatever your thought is, it creates the feeling. So if your feeling is anger or hurt, it's not because of what they said. It's because how you interpreted what they said. It's because of what you told yourself about what they said. That's what's so important about relationships. Let's say Coach Betsy tells me my coaching sucks. I can be really hurt by that. Oh man, Coach Betsy thinks I'm a terrible coach. Or I can think, she doesn't know what she's talking about. I'm a great coach. Right? I choose the thought about what she said. Y'all get that? Think about the model. What they said goes in the C line. You have an opinion about what they said, and that's your thought line. Having an issue with a boyfriend's brother. How does one deal with someone in your life that is constantly lying about you? And then Deanna says, how can I control anger at a 12-year-old son when he is stalling on homework? Here's what I would do, you guys. I would write out exactly what is happening and what you think about what is happening. And I would put these in Ask Coaches. These I really need more information in order to coach them. So for Stephanie, having an issue with a boyfriend's brother, I would need to know what the issue is. How does one deal with someone in your life that's constantly lying to you? Maybe you put in the C line, you have a thought here that says, he lies all the time. He's constantly lying to me. Right. And then you have a feeling and an action and a result. How you deal with that is on your action line. But you have to back up the truck and think about how you want to think about this person in order to modify your actions. Just work the model, y'all. I'm serious. Stephanie, Deanna, y'all be real specific and take your questions to Ask Coaches or catch up on the office hours. It's Wednesday. Who is on office hours Wednesday? They can help you too. Wednesday is, hang on, Coach Betsy. Don't tell me what I said about what she didn't say. All right, you guys. And then Deanna, how can I control anger at my 12-year-old son when he's stalling on homework? Put in your C line. What's your son not doing homework? You have a thought that creates anger. Right? You can be angry or not. The beautiful thing about the model, y'all, is this middle part right here, the thought, the feeling, and the action, 100% you, 100% your choice, 100% optional. Okay? So if you're feeling angry, then you have a thought that's creating anger. So how you control anger is you change the thought to something that doesn't create anger. Okay. All right, you guys, that's it for tonight. Have a good evening and I will see you all later. Stephanie, get in Ask Coaches.